There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So you're an astrophysicist, yeah?
Yes, I am.
Cool. Well, I'm a Pisces.
And the interview stops here.
This week, I'm talking to Alfredo, scientist, writer, lover of big bangs, small bangs, big bangs, all bangs, really.
All bangs.
As my ex used to say to me, it's not the size that matters, it's the smell. Crashing on. This is probably true. Please be aware that the following contains strong language and adult themes. It would be boring without them. As we're recording this, it's currently LGBTQ plus History Month, and with it being History Month, I thought I'd chat to someone much cleverer than me who knows about role models and how we can find role models, considering how, for a lot of history, stuff like this was hidden and taboo and glossed over and not talked about. We've all seen the memes about how two warriors buried together holding each other were really good friends. And so I thought I'd talk to someone about the history of really good friends and how we can find queer role models in that kind of area. So enough jabbering around from me. Hello, Alfredo. Welcome back.
Hello, River. It's a pleasure to be back. And no, you're right. Sometimes we're really good friends or brothers, even though they had different name and surnames. Adopted brothers, probably. We've all seen those movies. It's always good to have more role models, but there are plenty of role models for us from history. But I always find that when it comes to celebration like History Month or any kind of dates that recognize minorities, we often just wheel out those three, four role models that are known to the public. And like, oh, you see, some of you were in science or in theater or in restaurants, cooking, chefs, hundreds of years ago, and that everything is fine, and it's just so ridiculous. We've seen it so much in science long before they started a proper challenge to the hegemony with every time there was International Women's Day or the International Day of Women and Girls in Science that people only talked about Marie Curie. Yes, oh, yeah. She's brilliant. Yeah. Fantastic. Winner of two Nobel Prizes. There are more people. And when we're looking at stuff historically rather than celebrating role models that are living, we struggle with a few things. To be honest, we struggle on both sides, celebrating role models that are living and celebrating role models of the past. First of all, we get a lot of backlash. A lot of the backlash that I see is because they did not exactly state that they were queer. They did not do a coming out. There is obviously a lot of issue on putting our modern labels on people historically, but there are plenty of examples of, oh, this individual never married and lived with their best friends and have, I don't know, the biggest collection of furniture in the Western Hemisphere, and they're remembered for their fabulous parties. I'm preparing something that is going to come out in a few weeks and probably already out by the time the podcast is out. And
rude.
It's
carry
about
on.
I do try
accurate, but also rude.
Crashing on, let's go. And it's about this astronomer, Maria Mitchell, and she's known to be the third woman known to have discovered a comet. She's the first woman who was a professional astronomer in the States. Great. And I was reading this book, and there are all these love letters, which you would recognize a love letters between her and this other woman called Ida Russell. One of the comments is when, fortunately, Ida passed away relatively young, definitely young, because I think she was the same age as me, so definitely young, in her late 30s. And there are comments from Maria Mitchell that are just clearly she was in love with this woman. We don't know if it was a consummated love. We suspect that it was a reciprocal, but obviously there is, it's very difficult to say, oh, she was a lesbian or she was a bisexual woman. Even if putting a very vague sapphic term, it's very complicated. But nothing stops the straight people to claim all of the signs and this figure for themselves. So I feel that we need to be a tad bolder to at least question the compulsory heterosexuality and cisness of every single historical person that we encounter.
With the love letters, was there only one side to them? Or do we have both sides? Because it could be that in the lost letters, there might be something like, oh, the things you did to me last night were amazing. I was floating on a cloud and things like that.
I think they're both sides, but there's nothing quite as descriptive as that.
Which is a shame.
Which is a shame, but also it's, I don't know, it's not as, you cannot have everyone, or actually, even Oscar Wilde, you have the love that dares not speak his name. So there was complexity in how we approach such a subject without employing terms and understanding that are from 2024. Because we can even imagine that terms of understand applying this to something in the 1950s or the 1960s, much more close to us. Maria Mitchell was in the middle of the 19th century. Will still not exactly match the experience of those people.
We're probably a lot more explicit nowadays as well. There was a lot of classiness when it comes to love letters and things as well that we don't have now. It's not like an object in motion stays in motion, especially when it's my dick in your mouth, bitch, and shit like that. Doesn't really
I love that work, you're trying to pepper in some science-y.
I told you, I'm not very clever. Like, this is as good as it gets.
That is not true, and that was very good.
That was one of Newton's laws, wasn't it? Like,
yes.
One of the, yeah?
Correct.
And wasn't he like a confirmed bachelor or something equally odd?
Confirmed bachelor, and when one is a good friend / collaborators decided to leave him in England forever, he had a nervous breakdown.
Aww.
One of the things that we encounter in the story is there is a lot of sadness. To Newton, yes, that was absolutely terrible, but also Newton wasn't the nicest person. Not that he deserved that, but it's complicated. But people are complicated, and we're seeing these with a lens of history that wants to simplify who these people are. And when we create role models, and that is probably one of the things that I encounter as a struggle, creating role models from people who are active in science and living and doing things, there is this feeling that you are exposing yourself and putting yourself over a parapet. And so there is a little risk and danger. But also it sort of crystallizes you in a certain way, which can be difficult. One of the things that we do at Pride in STEM, and Pride in STEM is the largest charity in the UK for LGBTQ people in science, technology, engineering, and maths. One of the things we do is called Outthinkers. It is an event that is for the general public in which we have queer scientists, engineers come on in and talk about the research. And we record a lot of them. Some of them are live streamed. But there is a danger there. We had a few times had to delete part of a live stream or an entire recording because people were maybe moving to a country where that would put them in danger. But there's also, we had people get in touch with us because they had since transitioned, since they had done the recording. So they're like, oh, is it possible? And I'm like, let's delete it. Let's change everything. Come back again whenever you want and we'll do a new one. But you see, when we put role models, they are so important, I believe, for inspiring the next generation to make people see, oh, if that person that is like me managed to do it, I can too. Also has risks in the modern sense as physical, making you feel uncomfortable of what you've done because it crystallizes you in some way. And so when we do that historically, we are extremely simplifying a life as one thing or another. And it gets complicated. And I feel that it's very difficult to embrace the complexity of being human in the search for role models.
Looking up to someone as a role model, balancing that against not turning them into some kind of hero to be worshipped. And it gets difficult because we all contain multitudes. Newton was great at inventing calculus and working out some stuff, but then also...
Very good on inventing calculus.
Thank you. That's off the top of my head. I've done no research on Newton. But then, like you say, if he was a bit of a nasty pasty and not someone that we should really be looking up to, it's that kind of... The thing that's coming to my head is the question and the argument and all that about separating the artist from the art, but the other side of it, separating the scientist from the science almost.
Which I disagree.
It gets complicated quickly.
Yeah, I feel that we need to discuss these people as humans, because otherwise you end up in the problem that, they're like me, but not just like me. They're better, or they're geniuses, or they are... They're a little bit like me, but they were so lucky or wonderful, etc. And I think that is so counterproductive when it comes to actually inspiring people. Also, there is a tendency when we put them on this pedestal to make it as palatable as possible. So we want them to be perfect and flawless and that have done never any bad thing. But again, people are messy. And I do not believe in separating science for the from the scientist or art from the artist. I think it's a conversation that is necessary to have. Otherwise, it's just like if we separate the people behind the human knowledge from the actual human knowledge, you're just sort of trying to pretend that all the terrible things that happened did not. And I don't think it's fair to the victim of those terrible things. But on a similar tangent, in celebrating role models, there's also this idea to make them, and I think that is the difficulties in trying to find queer role models, to make them as sexless as possible. Because they are pretty little statues that have been raised on their pedestal. So we ignore the fact that, for example, going back to Marie Curie, there was a scandal because after her husband died, she had a younger lover and people were judging her for it.
I mean, her husband died. Like, she can do whatever she wants.
Yes.
And also, good on him for getting that close to someone who presumably was glowing in the dark at that point. I wouldn't. But
it was not known at all back then. That's another true. Example, queer person, very important in paleobiology, is Franz Nopcsa. And I'm hoping that I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Could you say that again, please? Because I heard something a little bit different.
Franz Nopcsa.
Nopcsa. Excellent name. Probably wins you a lot of points at Scrabble. Who are they?
Well, a very complicated man, paleontologist and a count from Transylvania, wartime spy, and he also tried to become king of Albania. But obviously, scientifically, the contribution that he's done were mostly related to paleontology, as I mentioned. And my favorite thing, there is a fossil turtle that is named after the butt of his boyfriend, because okay. Apparently had a beautiful, beautiful butt. And so the name of the turtle is Kalokiboshen Bajadzidi.
Kalokiboshen Bajadzidi.
Kalokiboshen Bajadzidi. Bajazid Doda was his lover, and okay. Kaloki Boshen means beautiful box. For example, you can say Kalopijik, and means fat arsed.
I would say shapely arsed rather than fat arsed. It's Kalopijik, no, and it's definitely a
Kalopijik, but it, well, sure. Shapely. Let's go with Shapely. And
that feels like just he's bragging a little bit there. It's like, my boyfriend's got a fantastic bum and I have immortalized it with this animal. So suck it, bitches.
Yeah, that is such a great little story that makes it like a real person, a real complicated person, because it was definitely a very complicated person. But that is a real story because it's playful, it's real. There's a little bit of muck in it, to use that expression.
Which we love.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, I have named this in your honor just because I love you so much. It's just like, I'm going to name this after your butt because I love your butt so much. I could think of doing the same. It just makes it real. And I think is those kind of story that is wonderful to find. And obviously, it's so difficult for us to find because, the world has hated us for a very long time.
I suppose it doesn't help when a lot of the most recent scientific and advances either happened in Victorian or post-Victorian kind of prudy type times, or were looked at through the lens of that prudy kind of, no, none of this, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, there was a point you made a minute ago that kind of stuck with me. It's that, like, especially with science, less so with artists, I suppose, with science, the thing that they discover stays discovered, and it can be named after them. And maybe all you'll know is that it has the name of this long dead scientist. You don't get to know that he loved his boyfriend's ass, or that he was very good friends with someone and then, you know, died alone. When it comes to artists and stuff like that, you go, oh wow, this writing is full of pain and anguish. I wonder what was going on in this person's life, or ooh, this painter's used a lot of red and black. Like, maybe they were having a hard time. With science, it becomes the cold, hard fact of it, and nothing else matters. That's not how we roll as people. We tell stories. That's our thing. And the best stories are stories about people.
And you're absolutely right. I always loved science. I've always been very good at maths, but my teacher made it so nice for us because once a week we did an hour in which he told us a story related to the particular maths theorem that we were studying or idea. And it's just so fascinating getting all those tidbits. Also, he set it up like it was almost telling us gossip. One of my favorite is about Évariste Galois. He solved this theorem the night before he died in a duel. And when our teacher told us, he was just like, wow, that is something that stays with you. It's just like it brings the humanity into something as abstract as maths. And I think it's important that no matter the discipline, we bring the humanity. You mentioned so many wonderful things about literature and art. And when we read a book that really stays with us, or when we see a painting or a statue or a TV show or a video game that really stay with us, we want to know more about the people behind, especially if we really has an impact on us. If it makes us, that piece of art makes us feel seen, we want to connect with this people. We feel that there's some kinship. And you cannot do that with science just based on abstract theorems and formulas. But if you learn about those people, it's not like, oh, I might not understand anything about that subject, but I do understand that bit about human condition. I can't understand why they were staying up in the middle of the night, wondering about the mysteries of the universe and pining after a lover that they could not have, or wanting something else. And I think creating those narratives, building those stories, and making people aware of them, I think is so important in showing us that we've always been here and we will always be here, no matter what.
Especially nowadays when we hear, oh, this trend towards transgenderism, like, oh, all the kids are getting into it. And it's just like, no, babes, we've always been here. It's just that now we can talk to each other and we can find each other and we don't feel like we have to hide it quite so much anymore.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
You see, instead of celebrating the fact that we could be building a society that just allows you to explore and understand who you are and allows to connect you to people that have the same experience. I can tell you something super, super silly. I've been on the internet for a very, very long time. When I convinced my parents to get me internet connection was the year 1996. And considered that I had a card, like a telephone card, with a number that I need to put in to get on the internet. And I had 40 hours of internet per month.
This is all well before I was born, so I can't really relate to any of this.
Shut up. I think I can go through 40 hours of internet in a single day now. And I was also learning English. And I ended up on a forum, and I felt like this global kinship over something so stupid. I have discovered that somebody else also loved and could only sleep if the pillow was cold. None of my family used to do that. I was constantly turning my pillow over and over and over because I could not sleep if the pillow was warm. Suddenly, I found somebody else on the internet saying they're like, oh, I cannot sleep with if the pillow is hot. And I'm like, me too. You're like me somewhere else in the world. Okay, that was a stupid example, but I had not experienced. So imagine now that we can express ourselves, we can tell how we feel, and having people that have gone through the similar experience or are going at the same time. And it's wonderful. And it should be just like a moment of pure joy across the world that we can recognize our shared humanity. Instead, is makes you want to strangle a lot of people, doesn't it? That they just think that the fact that we can see each other as humans, despite all our differences, despite anywhere that we are in the world, is something to be feared, is something to be destroyed, something to be used against us.
If history teaches us anything, it's that it won't work. It's never worked. They will try, because history also teaches us that there's no shortage of idiots, so we're going to keep trying. But I suppose there's some solace to be taken in the thought that we've always been here and we always will be.
And I think what's empowering is that we are louder than ever. We are probably, I would say, more radical than ever. It's probably because we are so pissed off about all the injustice that we see every day. I know it's very easy to be demoralized because the world is going into terrible directions and the people in charge sincerely do not give a fuck about all the multiples horrible things. But I always seen that there is a force for good. And on social media, for all its negative side, that voice actually is getting louder and louder. And yes, our enemies have lots of sock puppets and propaganda and established media on their side. But even with all of that, I think people are, especially the younger generation that gives me a lot of hope, are not that easily fooled. Not saying that everything is perfect or that our only hope of salvation is Gen Z and Gen Alpha, and that would relinquish our responsibility, and we have a lot of responsibility. But I think that there is a lot more need and want, a lot more hunger for fairness in the world and for changes in the world.
As we were growing up, there were ways that the world was, like things are like this, and no, it's not fair, the world's not fair, and that's not going to change, you have to deal with it because this is just how things are. And we questioned it, as all angry teenagers do, but we kind of like, oh, okay, fine, I suppose. Whereas kids growing up now are like, well, it can't continue the way it is because it's literally going to kill all of us. And I think maybe there's a starker understanding of the peril, for want of a better word, that the young'uns have nowadays. Like, it's not as abstract a concept. If things continue as they are, and we are lucky enough to live complication-free lives, let's say, we may more or less die of old age, but we'll be the last ones to do that if we're lucky enough to get to that point. Whereas the kids, they will not have that luxury. That's got a bit dark.
It's got very serious as well. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I feel that the next generation are faced with those kind of choices and those feelings. And this is why it's important to show that there are people that have their back in the older generation. Something that I absolutely hate is the media narratives of generation versus generation. And there's been very little still of millennials versus Gen Z, but I started to see it and I don't like it. And I sincerely do not care if Gen Z make fun of us for we are a nostalgia obsessed generation. Make fun of us. I don't want to become a boomer that's like, oh no, things should be a certain way. Absolutely not. Seriously, take me out of back and shoot me if I become like that. But this thing, what I want to and what I can do as much as possible is make it easier for the next generation and fight the fight to help the next generation and create a society that can have those role models that will inspire the next generation to do better, be better than us.
It's a low bar.
Yeah. I know.
Okay, so to bring things back around to role models then, what makes a good role model, in your opinion?
I think a good role model, it's very simple. Somebody that is willing to be open about themselves. And they want to tell something about their work, interests, life, etc. We want to put labels like inspirational or underdog stories, but I do not believe that to be necessary. A lot of people that I consider role models are very, very regular people, but they have inspired me because they are open. Maybe the only word if I needed to summarize it is they are unapologetic. Maybe I should have thought of a word that I can pronounce. In science, with Pride in STEM, we have doing a lot of that. So the best talk with role models that we had are people that were so excited to talk about their work and put details about their experience as a queer person or their life. You can feel the excitement throughout the auditorium palpable. And I think I'm writing a book that is all full of queer astronomers. And you can tell the moment that they get to what is exciting about their work, what they love about. Oh my God, I can listen for hours to that because suddenly they shine. And this is what you want from a role model, something that is a bright little light that can guide others on a certain path.
Who's one of your role models?
I'm going to pick Frank Kameny. Frank Kameny was an astronomer in the United States. He started some of the earliest gay rights organization in the US. He was fired by the federal government in the Lavender Scare. And that's when he got into activism. Seeing the way they approach things, so this is pre-Stonewall, we can clearly see that it was not an effective way to change hearts and minds. Also, it was very limited in the scope and the understanding of not just LGBT issues, but complete intersectionality, etc. It's very much a white gay man. But despite the limitation, I think the limitations are important because they remind you that you're still a person of a completely different epoch with prejudices that were not challenged. He worked hard with a lesbian woman, Barbara Gittings, to get the American Psychology Association to remove homosexuality from the list of mental health disorders. Impact. That was something fundamental that changed the life of so many people, and we can all be grateful that that happened. You see, it's inspiring to me because it makes me think that is somebody that was probably stubborn and continued to do a certain fight, and while might not have helped in every aspect of queer liberation, it had one tangible success. And sometimes we look at all the problems that we have in the world and we think, like, oh, I would like to help there and there and there and there. And we need to reflect, where is the best use of my energy? Where is the place where I can actually make an impact? So that's why I like to think about Frank Kameny. Not perfect, but...
Excellent choice. Well done.
Thank you.
Let's pay some bills. You mentioned a little while ago that you're writing a book.
Yes. The book is called Invisible Rainbows. It's about all the astronomy that we do, all the discoveries that we've done with light that we cannot see with our eyes. So it's, the subtitle is The Universe Beyond Our Senses. And as I was coming up with the idea, I thought, wait a minute, I'm calling it Invisible Rainbows. There is another Invisible Rainbows, which is queer people in astronomy that don't get the same opportunity and visibility of other astronomers. So I decided that the project was going to be just queer astronomers interviewed for this book. It's
awesome.
Bit of a challenge in some aspects because obviously it gets more complicated to get astronomers from certain geographical regions because, as we discussed, there are dangers. But the moment I have a person from every continent, so I'm happy that. And it's not just diversity in terms of being queer, it's across the spectrum. And yes, I'm working with this publishing house called Unbound. It works that the initial costs for the book are crowdfunded. So if you like the idea of learning about astronomy in a fun and accessible way, or if you like to support a big book of queer astronomy, pledge for a copy of my book, Invisible Rainbows.
And there'll be a link in the show notes, because of course there will.
Thank you.
And if people wanted to bug you and learn more about science and stuff, you've got your own podcast, you've got websites, you've got all sorts of things. Lay all those links on us.
The podcast is called The Astroholic Explains, and we talk about astronomy with my husband, who is not a science person, but is very curious and have lots of fun questions to ask, so we explore those.
And I think earlier you mentioned that he's got a fantastic arse as well, so that's good.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it doesn't come up much on the podcast, but it's still good to know.
I know, it's very difficult to showcase that on an audio medium. And everywhere I am at Dr. Carpinetti, so I'm on all socials. If you have any question about science, feel free to bug me, and feel free to bug me for anything else.
That was Probably True, the LGBTQ plus storytelling project created to remind all of our queer siblings that we are none of us alone. If you liked it, then join the Patreon, or just tell all your friends. If you didn't like it, tell me. Come at me, bro.
I hope that we can inspire enough people to believe the change is possible and actually make the change happen.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.